Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
At a recent conference, a law professor says that Christians who have avoided the culture wars may no longer have a choice with religious freedom in jeopardy. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this issue. Matt, this message is one that we have been saying for a long time, that this issue with regards to the battle over marriage is a worldview battle, and people will no longer be able to run from this issue. They will have to confront the issue, and there's really two choices. One, do you stand true to your Christian convictions? Do you stand true to Christ and face the consequences? Or alternatively, do you compromise your values, your convictions, and distort the actual scriptures and the truth in order to get along? Those are the only two choices. There are no middle ground places for people to run and hide. And that's what this professor, John Inazu, associate professor of law and political science at Washington University School of Law in St. Louis, said when he was delivering a presentation called Religious Liberty and the American Culture Wars at the Ethics and Public Policy Center's Faith Angle Forum in Miami Beach, Florida.
Yeah, Matt, you know, you may recall during his first presidential run, Barack Obama said that the kind of tongue-in-cheek, he said the culture wars are so 90s. And of course, this president and other radical progressives have ramped up the culture wars to a level now that is unprecedented in American history. The days of fence-sitting for Christians and people of faith is over because the radical LGBT agenda is an affront to the exercise of religious liberty in the First Amendment, and they intend for it to be. And it's not just the issue of marriage, Matt. We've always said that the whole purpose behind so-called marriage equality, the push for same-sex marriage, was not so that they could have marriage. There may be anecdotal instances, but it's so that they can have a hammer over which to hit Christians figuratively over the head, and in order to crush religious liberty. But it's not just marriage, it's the whole transgender issue. We see now in Virginia and Minnesota, elsewhere around the country, where they're pushing the transgender issue in public schools, literally shutting the doors to parents and citizens so that they can ram through these radical LGBT transgender bills, allowing boys in the girls' showers right alongside the girls in locker rooms and middle and high schools. So this agenda is at complete odds with religious liberty, and it's being used to crush religious liberty.
Well, in one of these articles here by this talking about this particular presentation, he talks about the InterVarsity Christian clubs on campus, for example, in California, and also other organizations related to Campus Crusade for Christ. The universities in California, the state universities, have now required these groups to allow non-Christians to be their leaders in order to remain a campus group. And if they do not allow non-Christians to be their leaders, they can no longer meet. So that's one of the things that's happening there. He points also to an amicus brief that was filed at the United States Supreme Court by the law professor at the University of Virginia, Doug Laycock, who argued in favor of same-sex marriage, but at the same time warned the court about the religious freedom issues that would inevitably follow. And he goes through this long litany asking the questions: must pastors, priests, and rabbis provide religious marriage counseling to same-sex couples? Must religious colleges provide married student housing to same-sex couples? Must churches and synagogues employ spouses in same-sex marriages, even though such employees would be persistently and publicly flouting the religious teachings that they would be hired to promote? Must religious organizations provide spousal fringe benefits to the same-sex spouses of any such employees they do hire? Must religious and social service place children for adoption with same-sex couples? Already, the brief continues, Catholic Charities in Illinois, Massachusetts, and the District of Columbia has closed its adoption units because of this issue. It goes on to say, religious colleges, summer camps, daycare centers, retreat houses, counseling centers, meeting halls, and adoption agencies may be sued under public accommodations laws for refusing to offer their facilities or services to same-sex couples, or they may be penalized by loss of licensing, accreditation, government contracts, access to public facilities, or tax exemption. That was in a brief by someone who supports same-sex marriage and says, these are the questions, these are the issues, if the court goes down this road, that will ultimately result in collisions with religious freedom. And I think there is absolutely no question about that.
Well, yeah, man, we know there's not, and the Obama administration is admitting as much. You'll recall during the oral arguments over the, you know, at the Supreme Court over the issue of same-sex marriage fairly recently, a few weeks back, you'll recall that the Justice Roberts asked point blank, or I believe it was Justice Alito asked point blank, if these types of restrictions would now apply to Christian organizations, Christian universities, if Christian, Justice Roberts asked if Christian colleges would be forced to open their married housing to so-called gay married couples, even though that is, it flies in the face of Christianity and it's still considered sexual sin in Christianity. The attorney, the Solicitor General, basically said, well, yeah, that's something that's, that would basically, you know, have to happen here. So Matt, as we have always said, people are just now starting to catch up with what we've been warning about for years, that this idea of same-sex marriage, that these sexual orientation laws, that all of this is completely anathema to the religious free exercise, and that these are being used to crush freedoms, not to prevent discrimination. They are being used to foster discrimination, anti-Christian discrimination.
There's no question about that. We said this was coming, Matt, a long time ago, and some people said, well, that's just hypothetical, but it's obvious that it's coming because we've seen the template for what is happening in America already play out around other parts of the world, in Europe and Canada, where same-sex marriage has been adopted there. You see the same thing, and it's not just same-sex marriage. It's elevating sexual behavior to a protected civil rights status on the same level as race. So whether it's a sexual orientation law, a so-called gender identity law that is pushed forward as a so-called non-discrimination law, that and or same-sex marriage, does this, they do the same thing. They elevate sexual behavior to a protected civil rights status, and it naturally collides with religious freedom whenever you make that false presupposition that it is to be protected as a civil right. So consequently, you know, Bob Jones University, and it's mentioned in this article, it lost its tax exemption over a racial issue. It's now changed its theological position on the interracial dating issue. But the same will be true for universities with respect to a sexual behavior, where sexual activity is only within the confines of a man and a woman in marriage. If that's their position, then they're going to also be targeted for property tax exemption, loss of income tax deductibility, and other kinds of things such as student loans and accreditation. This has a ripple effect of unprecedented magnitude.
Well, Matt, you've heard of the laws of unintended consequences. Well, these are intended consequences. This is the design behind this push for LGBT so-called rights. And we've had, you know, a New York Times columnist say, Bruno, say, Christians, you're going to have to remove homosexuality from your list of sexual sins. He said that point blank. You've had Hillary Clinton say it's time for Christians to change their religion when it comes to abortion. You're going to have to accept abortion and remove it as sin in terms of your exercise of faith and your religion and so forth. So that's the whole purpose here.
No question, whether it's on the forcing of genocide on Americans or the forcing of sexual immorality, either through these so-called non-discrimination laws or through same-sex marriage, religious freedom is in the crosshairs. That's the battle that we face today. But it's a battle that is not bigger than God. So certainly God birthed us for this moment. And just like in the times of old, God will intervene if his people humble themselves, seek his face, and pray. Join with Liberty Counsel for these critical times and join us in the Stand Your Ground campaign. We're asking people to stand your ground. And one of the things that we're asking people to do is to sign the marriage pledge. This is a marriage pledge that is wonderfully written. It has been now signed by about 100,000 people just through our resources. And we want to add your name to it as well. You can go to libertycouncil.com, libertycouncil.com, to sign this marriage pledge. This marriage pledge sets forth the purpose of marriage. It also sets forth the fact that government doesn't have the authority to change marriage, and that if government does try to change it, inevitably religious freedom is threatened, and that's a line that we cannot and will not cross. It may be time for peaceful resistance on some of these issues, but certainly it's time to pray that God intervenes. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, libertycouncil.com or lc.org. Pray for and support Liberty Counsel.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.